and hand out some candy. Hand out some candy, all right. So it's been 2 weeks since we were in our Sunday school lesson book, Following Christ and Fishing for Men. And 2 weeks ago, I gave a challenge. I gave a little assignment, homework assignment to do. Okay, and who can tell me what that assignment was? Miss Amaker.
To share your testimony
with someone else. Yes. So how did we all do with that? I gave you an extra bonus week. How did you all do with that? Did you share it with somebody? Somebody? Give me a thumbs up. Somebody. Joseph, who did you share yours with?
Coworker.
Coworker? Good. Dallas, who did you share yours with?
Stacklehouse.
Stacklehouse. Good. Good. I didn't specify unsaved. I just said saved or unsaved. Anybody else want to share who they shared their testimony with? Pastor. Yeah. All right. Good. 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 The rest of us wish we had a phone call and an hour ride with somebody that we could tell our testimony to. Good. Well, anything's possible. Maybe we should start praying for stuff like that. Amen. Someone else? Mrs. Matheson.
My niece and her family.
Your niece and her family. Good. Good, good. How you got saved. How Jesus Christ saved you from your sin. Now, another question. So Monday night, if you're here on Monday night, the preacher gave a really good message, and he also gave a giveaway that he gives out the gospel, witnesses to people, and he does it with his own testimony. Right? Writes it down on a 500 words or less, and he gives the challenge, and I think many of us, sounds like, will probably do that, and even print off little cards like he does, and I plan on doing that. Lexi is planning on doing that. And that's a really good way, a real practical way to spread the gospel and to tell people your own story. And he would say, you know, this is my story. Would you please read it? And they would take it, and they would read it. And then he would ask them, if they read it right in front of him, he would ask them, is that your story? And then that would open up the opportunity to share it with them, the gospel, and he was telling about the responses he got and how powerful it was. So give me a raise your hand if you're thinking about doing that, putting your testimony on a track. That's good. I see several. Hopefully all of us can do something like that. It's not hard. Just sit down. You don't have to be good at word. Just sit down and handwrite it out, maybe. Handwrite something out. And then we can take it and type it up and put it in a document. That would be great. That would be great. We can do all that. And you know what's cool is really when I do that little track card with my testimony, you know who benefits the most from that, giving it out? I do. It's, you know, because Mr. Pryor and my mom have a track. But it's more impactful. And I can give out their tracks. But it's more impactful when I give out my testimony. And I can, it's mine, so it's, people receive it better if I say, this is my story, will you please read it? Instead of, this is my mom's story. They might read it out of respect for mom, but they're looking at you. So that's a really good way to do it. Challenge each and every one of us to giving out our testimony, giving out tracts. Write down your little testimony and give it out. And we'll help you with that. We'll buy the tracts material. So lesson number 7, Christ, our example, John chapter number 4. You may say, well, I don't have a very interesting testimony. Yeah, so do I. I was born in a pastor's home. So, I mean, unless you're born in a pastor's home, your story is probably more interesting than mine, honestly. I mean, I was saved at the age of 5. You know, that's pretty typical for someone who grows up in a Christian home. But if I can do it, you can do it too. And I know your story is interesting to somebody. It'll work on somebody's heart more so than somebody else's story. All right? So John chapter number 4, we'll begin reading. Christ, our example. Who's the greatest example of witnessing? Christ. And here's probably the most well-known story of him one-on-one witnessing. John chapter number 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. Verse 5, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? That living water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for this morning that we can open up the Bible, Lord, your word, and that we would learn from it how we can be better witnesses of you. Pray, Lord, for each and every one of us, the ways that we've been challenged recently to spread the gospel, that we would do so and not waver, but be looking for opportunities to do so, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we would obey your command to preach the gospel to every creature. Pray, Lord, you'd work in our lives this morning, that we'd be sensitive to what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. John 4:14, But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So, Jesus Christ, we're going to look at today just this story. There's no other passages, no other references. I may reference some other verses on the way. But Jesus, our example in witnessing one-on-one. So, John chapter number 4, looking at it. So, reading in our book, the Lord Jesus Christ is our supreme example in soul winning. If we are to be effective in the work of winning the lost to Christ, we must follow his example. Let us look in John chapter number 4, verse 1 through 29, as the Lord Jesus dwelt with the woman at the well. So we're going to look at his example in John chapter number 4. Hopefully you all have a book. If you don't have a book, find somebody who has a book and share with them. And hopefully they'll be nice enough to share it. And if they aren't, then just tell us about it afterwards and we'll take care of it. All right, so point number one, he went out of his way to witness to the woman. The Lord went out of his way to speak to this lost sinner. The Bible says he must needs go through Samaria in verse 4. He must needs go through Samaria. He needed to go there. He went out of his way. There's divine compulsion here. Let us follow his example and seek after the lost. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So if the Lord Jesus Christ is seeking out souls, because you have to seek them out before you can save them, and how important is it for us to be seeking out people? And we often describe it as well, we have this opportunity that comes our way and we should take advantage of opportunities. But we also, not just to be should be taking advantage of opportunities, we should be making opportunities. For instance, when you're at the grocery store and it's so nice to just use the self-checkout lane, not talk to anybody, right? Why not just go to the regular checkout line for the sole purpose of giving that person a tract? Because I'm sure you can leave a tract on the self-checkout counter, but it's not as personable as just giving someone a tract. And if you have your own story, hey, this is my story. And if you're living Custer, you see the same cashier every week, or every 2 weeks, or every 2 days, like Dallas. I'm just kidding. And you see the cashier every time, and you can develop a relationship with them, right? And talk to them that way. So develop, make opportunities. When you gas up at the gas station, go inside to pay. Or if you have a QR code, stick it in the credit card slot. Make opportunities. Don't just go through life saying, well, God didn't give me an hour-long ride with somebody, so I didn't share the gospel with anybody this week. No, make some opportunities. Go to the regular checkout line. Seek and to save. That's more than just going through life and, oh, if somebody bumps into me and says, what must I do to be saved? No, it's that sometimes may happen. Most of the time, we're going to have to be seeking out ways to spread the gospel. So he must needs go through Samaria. He wanted to go through the center. He didn't want to. Judea was up here. Well, Israel was up here. Judea was down here. And instead of going around like most people will do, he went right through the center of Samaria, which was a no-no for Jews to do. He went right through the center of Samaria, and he went through Samaria, and he found this lost lady at a well. All right, so he went out of his way to witness to the woman. Secondly, he spoke with her about her soul, even when he did not feel like it. Let's keep reading. Verse 5, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So it's about the middle of the day, sixth hour being around noonish. So he sat down on the well, and it was in the middle of the day, and it says he was wearied with his journey. And he sat on the well, and it's the middle of the day, it's hot. He spoke with her about her soul even when he did not feel like it. You know, when I go to the store after work, I don't feel like doing anything other than getting whatever I need to do and get home and, do nothing, which doesn't really happen because I have a house to build. But most of the time, I don't feel like talking to anybody. You know, if you only went to church only when you felt like it, then you would be going absolute minimum. We should be doing, you agree that we should be going to church more than just when we feel like it, because it's right. So then, how so is it when we're witnessing? We shouldn't just witness when we feel like it. We should be witnessing even when we don't feel like it. Jesus was wearied with his journey, and it was the middle of the day. And his disciples went off to get meat, and he probably didn't feel like talking to anybody. But at the end of the chapter, it says, his meat is to do the will of him that sent him. And our meat, what we need to be doing, is the will of God the Father. And even when we're weary, that's the time that we need to stand up for God the most. That's the toughest. The Bible says in verse 6 that Christ was weary. The Lord rose above his weariness and spoke to this woman. We must learn to rise above our feelings and do what is right. Christ's consuming passion was to seek and to save that which was lost. That means it may take a little work. I like my job, but if I only went to work when I felt like it, I would no longer have a job. I have to go to my job whether I want to or not, and most days I want to, but some days I don't. A couple weeks ago, we were in Hope meeting, and we've been watching videos from Dave Brady, one of the people that we support, evangelists that we support, and one of his videos was a couple weeks ago, and it was on self-discipline and self-denial. And he made a statement that he said, every one of us should be doing at least one thing a day that we don't like to do. So for the simple fact that we don't like to do it, because it's good for us. You know, doing things that we don't want to do that are good things builds character. And it's not just going to help us. And when we witness to people, I don't like to talk to people, but when we witness to people, it's going to build character in us. But it's also going to kill two birds with one stone. It's going to give somebody else the gospel as well. We should do things, we should speak, we should witness even when we don't feel like it. All right, turning the page. Thirdly, he was concerned about all people. He was concerned about all people. Verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now, let's stop there. And my dad's mentioned before when he's preached on this that Why would you be going out and getting water in the middle of the day when it's the hottest? Obviously, this woman was probably an outcast by her own people, an outcast of the Samaritans. And if you're an outcast with the Samaritans, that means you must have been really immoral, which she was. But she was going out in the middle of the day. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, probably because nobody wanted to be with her. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Verse 8, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So he obviously was a Jew in her eyes by his attire, and she was a Samaritan. And she was wondering why he would talk to her, because the Jews and the Samaritans wouldn't talk to each other, because the Samaritans were half-breeds and married off. And the Jews, you know, were proud of their lineage, and they were true to the Old Testament law and very pharisaical in their ways. But he was concerned about all people. He was willing to cross lines. This woman was not the type, the book says, most churches want. But Christ sought her. If we desire Christ-likeness, we must stop considering who will fit in and start asking, to whom are we responsible? We are to love all people. You know, it amazes me, you know, even in my own mind, I go out and I'm, you know, witnessing or whatever, and somebody says, oh, no, I don't want it, I'm Catholic. And then I'm like, oh, okay, I'm sorry, have a good day. But the truth is, you know, when we say to ourselves, oh yeah, we won't witness to them because they're Catholic, that's the reason why we should be witnessing to them. I mean, that's, you know, it's concerned about all people. And it doesn't matter what color, what race, what economic status you have, Christ died for all people. And we need to love all people as he loves all people. And we are responsible for all people. So she asked him a question, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For this Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You know, Brother Bill told me this, that several years ago, before Mardi Gras just got way out of hand, there's a church there that in New Orleans, that their businessmen in the church, lots of well-to-do businessmen, they would take a week off of work during Mardi Gras, and all of the businessmen would hit the streets and give out tracts for a week solid. And what was powerful about that was businessmen in their full suits were going out on the streets, and it doesn't matter what you look like, they would be telling people the gospel. It doesn't matter who you look like, it doesn't matter what you are. And James, it talks about if there's someone comes in the church and he's dressed up in a rich robe, you know, a nice robe and stuff, you shouldn't treat them higher than somebody who doesn't have much. And same thing with witnessing. When the sower went out to sow seed, he didn't choose the good ground and say, okay, no, he just sowed the seed. And the good ground was what God determined what it would be. Where the seed fell was up to God. He was concerned with all people. Jesus Christ didn't care. We shouldn't care either. We are to love all people. Is every person in your eye a soul that needs saving? Is every person in our eye someone who needs to get saved? We are to love all people. Fourthly, he began the conversation casually. The Lord Jesus met this woman and began speaking to her about a very normal topic. He said in verse 7, give me to drink. We must work with people, conversing with them in a way that opens the door to witnessing. This is something that I struggle with very much so, because I get nervous and I know the focus is the gospel, and so then oftentimes it comes out wrong, or I start the conversation off way too pharisaically, I guess. There was a, you know, somebody posted a while ago this video of their little 4-year-old boy who was going around a waiting room, and he would go up to one person and said, you're going to hell. And he went up to the next person and said the same thing to all the people, and how that was great because they're such a witness. That's not going to bring people to the Lord, is you just tell them you're going to hell. Now, are they going to go to hell? If they're not saved, yes. But That's not what you should start off with. Jesus said, give me to drink. And by the way, he put himself on a lower plane than this woman and asked of her a favor. You know, we shouldn't be going out and witnessing and saying, hey, you know, try to, you know, if you want, here's something to read and maybe you can be like me. That's not the point. It's to be personable. And so that's what I struggle with, is starting the conversation casually. And I'm trying to work it. And I think this new testimony thing is going to be a great way to start it off casually. Hey, this is my story. I just want to tell you something good that happened in my life. You know, there's people that ask people when they meet them, they say, is there anything I can pray for you about? That's casually, and it's a door that leads right into spiritual things. So he began the conversation casually. He didn't speak to her as if he was above her. He actually said, asked of her a favor, give me to drink. We must work with people, conversing with them in a way that opens the door to witnessing. He started out with water, something that they all had in common. They needed water. He needed water. She needed water. And he started off at that point. So he began the conversation casually. Moving on, he turns the conversation to spiritual things. He turned the conversation to spiritual things. Verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So he turned the conversation to spiritual things. You know, so I have the weakness of, I want to dive right into the spiritual things, and I don't tend to build a good foundation, and I come across as haughty to people that I'm witnessing to. But then there's also the danger, maybe your danger is you are too casual, and it's too easy for you to talk about guns and sports and football and politics, but you never turn the conversation to Jesus Christ. So maybe that's your weakness. I have a brother-in-law. I won't mention his name, but I have a brother-in-law, married my sister, that he and I were talking, and I was telling about my struggles with witnessing, and he said, I struggle with starting out right, you know, and, you know, starting the conversation off casually and then moving into the gospel. You know, just being downright just folksy, friendly. And he said, well, Josh, you know, you may think to yourself badly because you can't, because it's hard for you to be just a friendly, you know, because I like to cut the chase and just hit it hard. And he said, but my weakness is that I can talk to somebody for an hour long about nothing, but I have to move it on to spiritual things. So even though I'm the other extreme where I can't start friendly and move into the spiritual, he was the extreme where he likes to start friendly and just leave it there. Never go on any further. In verse 10, the Lord Jesus turned the conversation to spiritual things. He began to speak about the gift of God and living water. In order for people to come to Christ, they must be confronted with spiritual matters. They must be confronted with spiritual matters. And a good way to start off, I would definitely say, is with a testimony. And it starts out with your life story, and then towards the end, it gets down to some Bible verses and a happy ending, and tell them it has a happy ending. That's a great way. Moving on, he told her of his power to give eternal life. Notice what Christ said in John 4, 13 and 14. Let's read those verses. Actually, let's read verse 11. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He told her of his power to give eternal life. Notice what Christ said in those verses, he told this woman that he is the source of eternal life. Our work as Christians is to speak with people about the Lord Jesus Christ and his power to save. Christ is our hope. He has the power to give eternal life. Remember how he started off the conversation, give me to drink. He was starting off the basis of, I have a need, you have a need, but I know the answer. And the story in the Old Testament of the lepers standing out the gate of the city, and they found the food, and they need to tell everybody else about the food. And pastor gives the illustration that we're really just beggars, lepers, telling another beggar where to find bread. That's all we're doing. And we need to tell people of his power. We need to be continually telling people, pointing people to him. And Jesus Christ was pointing people to himself and to his Father. He told her of his power to give eternal life. Moving on, he led her to an awareness of her spiritual need. He led her to an awareness of her spiritual need. Verse 15, the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. Wow. Yikes. He told her of her need. You know what? The one of the biggest things you have to start out with when you get more into witnessing is getting the other person to admit that they're a sinner. You know, if they don't admit they're a sinner, you can't really go any further, you know, because Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you don't recognize that you're lost, you're never going to get saved. Somebody's out lost in the woods, and especially if they're a man, they may not admit they're lost. But that doesn't mean they aren't. They are, and they need to admit it before they can get saving. We seek a doctor when we are sick. We will never seek the Savior until we realize that we are sin sick. People must be made aware of their spiritual need. Maybe you have to say, well, Jesus said that all have sinners. Have you ever sinned before? And if they have trouble seeing that, name off some commandments, one of the Ten Commandments. Point out that they have a spiritual need. You know, Jesus had an insight. You know, Jesus knew everything about this woman. We don't know everything about people. But if you're talking to somebody and they're in the gutter, you probably know that they have a specific need. You probably can point out something, you know what, you're in trouble. And get them to see their own need. Don't just say, you're in trouble. Get them to see, I have a need. And use the Bible to do it. People must be made aware of their spiritual need. He said, go call thy husband. And she couldn't. Moving on. He refused to be sidetracked from his purpose. One of Satan's tricks is to sidetrack the soul winner. Let's read verses 19. And on, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. After he pointed out her sin, he said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Well, he's got to be something. Verse 20, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Change of subject. She didn't like talking about her sin. Verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. He refused to be sidetracked from his purpose. As our story continues, we see that there were many times that the Lord could have been sidetracked. However, he was so consumed with his purpose that he refused to be moved from it. He was seeking this woman's salvation. Turn over to verse number 9. Verse number 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou... Now, keep in mind, mark the beginning of the question and the end of the question. How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? That is the question she asked. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So her question was, how, thou being a Jew, askest me a drink, who am a Samaritan? And did Jesus ever answer her question? In verse 10, he said, Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Jesus never answered her question. Because what she was trying to point out? She was trying to point out something that they could argue about. Something that they could be sidetracked about. And the devil is going to use lots of things to sidetrack you. It's possible that when witnessing to somebody, you mentioned evil in the world or something, and somebody else says something against the conservative party. And then, whew, our pride rises and we want to talk about that. Well, no, the purpose is salvation, and we should be talking to people about Jesus. When that happens, let's not do that. Keep it simple. God's word changes lives, but he can't really work on them until they're saved. Salvation is ultimately the most important. And what if the person you're witnessing to happens to be a conservative and says something bad about the liberal party? We can't, it's wrong to jump on board if they attack you, but it's wrong to jump on board if they attack somebody else and now you have something in common that you're fighting against, but they're not saved. So don't all of a sudden you hear that they're conservative and all of a sudden you forget that they need Jesus Christ. Conservatism and Christianity are not synonymous. Amen. Verse 9. Verse 11. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? This is the question. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. She wanted to keep talking about, how dare you say you're greater than our father Jacob? Why are you saying this? And Jesus, over and over again, just said, it's about the living water. He kept on talking about water. Until finally, she started talking about water. He was not sidetracked. And then verse 20, she said, Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem the place is the place where men ought to worship. And he finally said something in reference to that, and he silenced the argument. But the purpose was that he wanted to tell her the way, the truth, and the life. He refused to be sidetracked. Don't be sidetracked when you're talking to people, just in general. If you have the opportunity to talk to anybody for a length of time, don't, even Christians here at church, don't get so involved in talking about stuff that's not of God. If you have a 30-minute long conversation and Jesus is not brought up at least once, is that really giving him the reverence and the honor that he deserves, even amongst Christians? So when we're talking to people about their need for salvation, we should be talking about him in every conversation we're having with anybody, an unsaved person. It should be with the goal of, I'm going to influence this person to Jesus Christ some way, somehow. We need to be not sidetracked from his purpose. And lastly, the woman trusted him as her Savior and began to win souls. The great victory, verse 28 and 29, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. The woman trusted him as her Savior and began to win souls. Notice the great victory. Christ revealed himself to this sinner, and she believed on him. She left her water pot. What she was worried about at the beginning of the day was not what she was worried about thinking about at the end of the day. She left her water pot at the well and began to tell people in the city about the Lord. Our goal must be to see the lost saved and then to see them telling others of the Savior. If you are born again, you have within you the secret to soul winning. The master soul winner, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus lives in you. Christ will speak through us and make us the soul winners he desires for us to be as we yield our lives to him. There's no greater joy than when you are able to lead somebody to the Lord and immediately they are concerned about somebody else. Because that really tells you that there's something that took place that they want to tell somebody else about. And that's an awesome verification of that. And it's not always there, but it's an awesome verification when that happens. And it should happen. She began to win souls. Now, let me point out something. Where were the disciples at this time? They were where? They were in the city buying meat. And they came in verse 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, "Why what seekest thou?" Or, "Why talkest thou with her?" They didn't even really address her. And then in the meanwhile, in verse 31, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat. We just went out in the city and bought some food. Now eat it." And this is when Jesus, when I referenced to earlier, he said unto them, verse 32, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." So think about this. The disciples were down in the city. How many converts did they have? Zero. The woman, at the beginning of the story, wasn't even saved. She got saved, and then how many converts did she have? It doesn't say, but there's numerous. So we need to go back to that time when we got saved in our minds. Think about it. When we got saved, we wanted to tell everybody else how Jesus saved us. And he mentioned the song this week, Brother Summerdorf, "I have never lost the wonder of it all." Don't lose the wonder of it all that Jesus saved you. It is natural when somebody gets saved to tell others. And the disciples were so blinded that they went into the city and they didn't have any converts. And Jesus didn't even go into the city and he went to one person. It only takes one. Don't worry about the world, the 7 billion reasons plus that you can't save, that you can't talk to. Worry about that one cashier at Custer, that one cashier in Dollar General who you see once a week, that one doctor who you see once a month. Worry about that one soul. You may get 500 little testimony cards and only one of them makes it. But if one of them does it, if one of them gets saved, it's worth it all. It's worth those 500, those 499 that were handed out and not used. It's worth it. And it's the result. Witnessing is the result of somebody getting saved. And if you're saved, the result of your salvation should be in you telling others about Jesus Christ and me as well. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for this challenge from your word. I thank you, Lord, for the woman at the well and for Jesus' example to us and how to witness. I pray, Lord, that you would help us. We know that you have the power, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would be living holy and yielded to you, that we may tap into that power and be effective for you. I pray, Lord, as we go about this week, Lord, that we would continue the challenge to share our testimony with somebody, anybody, that we would write down what you did for us, Lord, how you saved us, not from sickness or from pain, but from a life of sin and hell. Let's pray that we would be focused on eternity's values and that we'd be living for you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.